Okay. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for this humble assembly and the opportunity we have to come and worship with others who are like-minded in the study of your word and sing praises to you in prayer, offering, communion, all the wonderful things that you set up for the church. And Father, we pray that this morning we'll be glorifying to you, glorifying to your Son. In his precious name we pray. Amen. Okay, what are we going to sing?
Join together in song number 216. Please join us in song Great is Thy Faithfulness, number 216 in heaven.
Let's talk about coming events. Next Sunday, we're having a congregational meeting. It should not take long. What we're going to do is talk about renewing our lease agreement with Tony and where we are now, and decide on an amount. I don't know how many landlords let you decide what you can pay, but He works really well with us. And, of course, he gets a good deal. And we're only here on Wednesday night and Sunday morning. We don't interrupt with the parking difficulty with any of the businesses that are here. And don't put that much wear and tear on the room. But nevertheless, anywhere else in North Dallas, you'd be paying some big chunks of money. So we'll discuss that next week. If you have any questions, Jim Passmore is going to try his best to be here. And I don't know if many of you know his circumstances, but his wife was transferred to Houston, and he goes down and with her every weekend. But the president of the company has decided to move it to Fort Worth, so they're looking to buy in Fort Worth. But anyway, he still goes to Houston, but he said next week he'll try to be here to answer any questions that you might have, other than a simple outline that I'll give you about a sheet that I'll present for you. So next week, any questions on that? Next Sunday. All right. Next Saturday, be in Wichita Falls for Gloria Wellman's memorial service. Gloria's been a member of this church since when? About the 80s? Early 80s, I think, about that time. And just a wonderful lady. Went on to be with the Lord. Her son, Steve Seabury, he listens to. And so that'll be going on next Saturday in Wichita Falls, Texas. Now as to traveling, we have a lot of members traveling, the Wises and the McMillans. Any other prayer requests that I need to be aware of as far as things? Yes.
Yeah. Cindy advised, you know, the lady that we put on the lady and her husband we put on the prayer list,
Dan, yes. Sterling, she passed away a couple days ago. Oh, wow.
So we're just
going to
pray for
Dan and pray for that, and also just pray for that. Okay. I might sneak by. It's faster than it was. It's from birth to hell. Who was that guy? And, yes.
Request prayer for me next week. I think I might be a little difficult at work, trying to deliver some stuff, and not everything is working exactly the way it should be. So, next week's the crunch.
If you ever want to see what a retiring person looks like, look at Kit. He retires this month, he's invested a long lifetime in this. Now, he wants to spend his time at the Dallas Seminary Library, and his wife wants to spend his time with her. So, let's pray for domestic tranquility. Yes?
Well, I got three prayers.
All right, you're allowed three.
First off, on the prayer for Alina. The Humphrey, she's the daughter of Michael Wilkes, who actually had some slow development. They re-evaluated her. She's 18 now, but her development is still at 30 years old. And she wanted to move out. She wanted to get her own car to be in San Martin. So it's now on the legal matter that my friend Lisa, the adopted mother, has to take the guardian.
How old is she?
She's 18, but she has a mental development of an 8-year-old. And her friends all graduated from high school, which is not. She doesn't understand. Yeah, she loves the Lord, but she just doesn't understand. We don't want her right now, so please pray for her. Alina. Second is, now, Lisa, the Humphrey, and I are prayer warriors at work. She walked into a family that is named JC. Jay and Jay, don't doubt that we became friends. We were friends from Paris. And Lisa got into talking with her, with him, about, you know about Jesus, and what do you think about it? You know, where are you going, where are you dying, and all that. So he was like, I'm a first Catholic, but no, I never thought of it. So, they got into talking, he gave him a book, I don't remember what the book was, and it was some of the topics that the people got discussed with the holiday things going on throughout the year and everything. So let's pray that Lisa gets a chance, you know, to give the gospel to her. And the last one is praise support, you know, the turmoil at work that I have in my team seems to get better, but we almost took a rock bottom in the hospital. We're talking about I have to recommend my own boss, so that wasn't fun. Somebody got to do it. But anyway, we all love the Lord, and one thing I learned from it is, as a Christian, just like going to work. Now, when you're studying, when you're in school, it's all fun. But when it comes to applying faith to real life, when we are in the middle of crisis, we all fall apart. We started pointing fingers. And, you know, with all the past years that I learned that and I shared that with my boss. And that's just a personal morale. So please pray for us to meet you. And thank you so, you know, for being more supportive. Thank you. Thank you. Thank
you.
So some great stuff going on with camp.
All right, let's hear about camp.
3 weeks till the staff shows up for camp, and then tomorrow, 3 weeks from tomorrow, the kids show up. So we are on the countdown. And please continue to pray as you put out a couple weeks.
Every day. Pray every day,
for kids,
people.
For the teachers, for the safety, to travel. And also, we have a request. It's a service request, so we have lots of stuff that we need for donations. That'll be coming out to the congregation, but also to all the parents of the kids that are going. Lots of dry goods kind of stuff that we've done in the past.
Give us a message.
It will be coming out via email. We'll talk to Leslie after this and find out the timing. But it'll be pretty soon. And then there's also some volunteer spaces on this list. So if you have the physical ability and the desire to serve, Saturday before camp, so 3 weeks from yesterday, we would love to have some folks come up and help us set up. And then on the 29th, Friday morning of the 29th, we'd love to have some folks come up and help us tear down.
Okay.
We have a huge group of people going up. We have 166 people going up to camp this year. That's the biggest we've ever had, and we're going to need some help. So.
We're going to be able to feed them all?
We'll feed them all. I'm not sure where they're sleeping. But every bed is filled in camp. Every bed is filled except two, one or two in the entire camp.
Is my bed ready? Or
there?
Oh, okay. I didn't know if that was the one or two exceptions.
And then the last, so pray for all of this working out the way God wants to. Think of Julie's prayer request there, and praise report. We're teaching the kids about, you know, the theme this year is, do you believe? And it really comes down to, are the things you're learning and the way you're learning and the things, are you applying those to your life? Do you just know them, or do you believe them in such a way that it impacts your life?
Yeah.
And that's a pretty amazing place to do with kids. And then my last prayer request would be with for Cameron and Addie. They came up to join us today, but also going back Tuesday. And so safe travels and at school and all the things that go on with what they have.
Hey, we're glad to have you, hon. Anytime. Glad to have you. Cameron, how's it going?
It's going good.
Going good. All right.
I was going to say just to thank you that I was able to get through the last month. So it was quite a hectic month. Got through school, lots of hours of work. But we got through it. Now we're looking forward.
And when's the next semester start?
Wednesday.
So we'll start praying for the next semester.
Yeah. All right. I'll pray for this month.
Yeah. Very good. All right. Any other prayer? Yes, sir.
A couple things. The men's guitar church, they all have their different things going on. And second, we've got a couple of jobs at work that come down to Frenchtown the last 2 weeks. But we're also looking to move to a bigger place. And that's going to happen hopefully this month. So regardless of the outcome that God's glorified, you know,
okay.
because we're stepping up with a big trust, but we've got too small, our facility is too small. So we're really stepping up.
You need more space?
So it's a big step for us. Trusting God.
Good.
Thank you.
Stepping up, that's problems. Good. Alright. I thought about you, went into the old garden ridge is closing down and all their stuff sitting out of the counters and all that. And I wonder if Trey's going to be over here pulling these things out of here. So, any other prayer requests? Yes?
No, I just want to give an update. My dad's procedure went well on Wednesday.
Good.
Yeah, and so far he hasn't had any side effects or anything. So
that's very good.
Yeah, it's very good. So.
The passing day is still.
Right. Yeah. So, and then but I met a family. And in the waiting room while we were waiting for him, they're believers. I don't remember the gentleman's name, but the husband was getting a port for them, and he had pancreatic cancer, and it was in stage four. There was just the chemo. I asked for the purpose of why go through the chemo, and they said so that it can prolong your life. And of course, we know that God can have miracles, and at least, you know, there's some people, if they have the will to live, and if it's in God's plan, it could be 2 years, it could be 3 years, but without that treatment, it would have been 4 months, probably. He was gone. So, and so I said, well, what's our prayer with them? God knows who they are. The lady, it's her husband and her family comes there, and they're older. But she said he's not for them.
All right, we'll be in prayer. I was at the airport Friday. Saturday. Friday. When was it, huh? Friday. And talking to a lady working there. And she was from Africa. So I told her I'd been to Africa and told her the countries and went over to, and she said, why'd you go? And told her to teach pastors how to study the Bible. And I said, by the way, have you ever believed in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? She goes, I'm Muslim. And I said, have you ever believed in Jesus Christ as your Savior? And she said, well, I believe in Jesus as a prophet, but not. And I said, well, I'll put a seed in your soul. Think about him. So, maybe be in prayer for you. You never know what might happen. Any other prayer requests or announcements? Yes, sir. Just a minute, Gigi. You got a soft voice. Any other prayer requests or anything? The word of God declares whatsoever man purposes in his soul to give, so let him give nor grudgingly nor of necessity, for God loveth the gracious giver. Gracious giver is defined, first of all, as one who has personally believed in Jesus Christ as Savior, but also one who knows how to be filled with the Spirit by grace through faith, trusting the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is the one who guides us in what to do with our time, money, and our lives. So with these things in mind, let's prepare ourselves for the offertory by prayer. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this humble assembly. We're in the world, and the world charges. Our message is free. Salvation is free. But Heavenly Father, we live in the set in this world, pay the bills. So we pray now that you receive the offerings that are about to be given, that you will continue to use these offerings to allow this ministry, this assembly of believers, continue to disseminate the word of God. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, does anyone not have, are you increasing in the knowledge of God? Anyone not have it? Okay. Judah was talking about learning it and applying it. The last several Sundays we've been talking about applying the things we're learning, bearing fruit, walking in the Spirit, bearing fruit, and this morning, increasing in the knowledge of God as per the Word of God. So let's begin with the word of prayer. Purpose of this prayer is not ritualistic. Purpose of this prayer is to test yourself, see if you're trusting the Holy Spirit, who is the true teacher. Let's pray. We consider it a wonderful privilege, Heavenly Father, to open the Word of God to the book of Colossians, written by Paul to these believers and therefore to us, in getting ready for the judgment seat of Christ. We're ready for the rapture of the church, Father, by simply believing in Christ as Savior, by getting ready to stand before Him to evaluate our lives. It's the great issue now. So, Father, we pray Your Spirit will open our eyes to things You'd have us to see and understand. Father, we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. All right, Colossians 1:9. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask. And people, I want to say, please do not stop. Do not cease praying for the camp, even during the week of the camp. Be in prayer for Fassel. Be in prayer for me as we prepare what we're going to say to these young people. Give us the Holy Spirit to open our eyes that we will say things that they need to hear. They need to grasp. They need to understand. So please be in prayer as we move closer to Professor, myself, teaching, and then all of the group leaders who will be teaching and working with the young children, young kids, and teaching. So please do not omit daily prayer just to the end of July. That's all you got to do, pray for this camp to the end of July. In August, we'll start for 2017. But right now, just be in prayer to the end of July. All right, now, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask. We now have 7 prayer petitions for these believers. Remember, these 7 can serve as an outline for your prayers for yourself and others. The first one, you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. 2, so that you walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. We spent some time on walking, and even though you have a printout, I want to simplify our study so that you may remember it. I want you to carry these things in your soul, not just on a piece of paper. This is better, I think, and some of you told me you like it better than trying to write it out, but you got to have it in your soul. So I just put some things together on walking because it's all through the New Testament. 1, walking refers to the course of your life. What's the course of your life? 2, walking emphasizes, and people, I'm talking about spiritual. Course of your life, when you're talking about 35, your course is pretty well set. I'm working with this company, and I'll probably be working with this company until the day I die. No, I'm not talking about that. Now, your college, high school graduate, this type of thing, yeah, course of your life is an issue. But once you get into that, once you get into a marriage, those things are pretty well laid out. What's the course of your life spiritually? The church you attend and why? These type of issues. 2, walking emphasizes the one day at a time principle of your life. You don't have to live tomorrow. Make it through today. 3 absolutes in walking as a Christian. Walk in the Holy Spirit. Walk by faith. Walk in the Word of God. All of these we studied the verses last week. 4, walk with the Lord, before the Lord, after the Lord. All 3 prepositions are in the Word of God. 5, the worthy walk. Worthy of the Lord. Colossians 1:10. Worthy of God the Father. We saw this in 1 Thessalonians 2:12. Worthy of your calling. Ephesians 4:1. Walk in good works. Ephesians 2:10. Walk according to the law of love. Romans 14:13-23. 6, walking in reference to self. You will not desire the will of God for your life if you do not value your own life. People are wasting their lives today. Just wasting it. Don't waste your life. Don't waste your life. Every day counts. Every day is important. And finally, 7, some negatives. How the believers not to walk. Not walk according to the flesh, Romans 10, not in the desires of the flesh, nor in the energy of the flesh. Not walk in craftiness or shrewdness. This is in your work, in your marriage, in your social life. Not walk according to your own plans, Jeremiah 18:12. Not walk after other gods or in idolatry, Jeremiah 7:6. And let me tell you something, yes. I sure will for you, Martha. I'll be glad to. Let's go back up here to number 4. Number 4. Walk with the Lord, before the Lord, after the Lord. Yes.
The before part.
Okay. Walking before the Lord is in His presence. Before Him, as in His presence. That makes sense?
Before us, he walks behind us.
You
use that same analogy.
Yeah, you can use that analogy also. Okay, Martha? Alright. Now, Colossians 1:10. This is where we continue on. The third petition, to please Him in all respects. Just remember, without faith in the Holy Spirit, it is impossible to please God. The fourth petition, bearing fruit in every good work. And that's what we studied last week. Are you bearing the fruit that God desires? And now we come to the fifth prayer petition, increasing in the knowledge of God. Bearing fruit, and watch this now, this gets into the text. Bearing fruit was a present participle, daily, denoting that this is up to each believer, whether he or she will bear fruit for God. It's up to you. Now, increasing in the knowledge of God is in the present passive participle, which means that the believer receives increased knowledge of God. The verb to increase means to grow, to increase, to add to. Knowledge built on knowledge. They certainly have knowledge of God, but now Paul prays that they will continue to add to that knowledge, more knowledge about God. The word knowledge is important here. There are several Greek words for knowledge in the New Testament. Let's look at a Greek lexicon. The lexicon that we're going to look at, the Complete Word Study Dictionary of the New Testament. The Greek word epinosis is more intense than the Greek word gnosis. Knowledge, because it, epinosis, our word, expresses a more thorough participation in the acquiring of knowledge on the part of the learner. In the New Testament, it often refers to knowledge which very powerfully influences the form of religious life, a knowledge laying claim to personal involvement. It's one of the things we're going to do at the camp 2 weeks from now. You're learning these things, but are they making a difference in your life? This is not so that you can go on some Bible Jeopardy program and how much you know about the Bible. This is talking about your life. Does this make a difference in your life? In your dating life? These are young kids. In your physical life? In your parent, in your relationship with your parents? Police officers? Teachers at school? Your life? Yourself, how you dress. Are you advertising your body? Or do you dress appropriately? These are the things that this word involves that is so important. Epinosis should involve your life. So, the question is, the end of the quotation after the laying claim to personal involvement. Now, question. How does a believer receive increased knowledge of God? Good question. Glad you asked. By in the increased learning of the Word of God from a pastor teacher who teaches the Word of God. And I say that, people, because most pastor teachers are not studying and teaching the Word of God. They teach sermonettes, and they teach things that are itching to the ears, but not about the Word of God. Now, Peter words it just a little differently. Take a look at Peter, 2 Peter 3:18. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Grow in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Paul in Colossians, grow in the knowledge of God. Peter, grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Christians, those that are involved in the body of Christ, across the board, do not want to go to church anymore, where the Word of God is taught, verse by verse. They desire sermons that make them feel good. Sermons that cater to their individual problems. I want to hear all about this. We're all about that. And they're not interested in the Word of God. Friends, we have three services a week to worship in the study of the Word of God here. Really just two. You can come on Sunday, the early morning, and then this one. One other one on Wednesday evening. I don't think that's too much. I think we're just too busy for too many other things. I would like to say I think it's one you're not interested, but I think you are. You wouldn't come to this church. There's no glory here. The buildings have no glory. The parking lot certainly doesn't. The neighborhood doesn't. But you're interested in what the Word of God says. So then the second conclusion is, it's the pastor. And people, I say this fearfully, but seriously. If I'm not the pastor for you anymore, let's change me. Get somebody that you will come 2, 3, 4 times a week and listen to them teach you the Word of God. That's what's important. That is the issue. Can the pastor of the church I'm going, does he study and teach me where I can understand and grasp the Word of God? And then the third reason, it's too busy. I'm too busy on Wednesday night. I'm too busy on Sunday morning for 9:15. But you have to make these decisions up yourself. Dave, I wish we had some 6 services. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and 3 on Sunday. Growing up, I loved Sunday night service. Loved it. We sang, had a wonderful sermon, wonderful fellowship afterward. I just loved it. I miss Sunday night services. But today, just everybody lives too far, and Sherman, Wiley, all over the place. And all over the place. And so that's why we did take it to and put them on the Sunday morning. But that really didn't help that much. But it's up to you. But here is that Paul's prayer is that you increase in the knowledge of God. Through our study, Daniel, Matthew, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 Corinthians, and Isaiah 53, we see over and over the encouragement to continue to grow in the knowledge of God, the knowledge of the Word of God, the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Rather than a doctrine on increasing the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ, I decided let's just go through some passages that will show you the relevance of all of this. I could do it one of two ways. Give you a doctrine, or let's just go through and let the Bible be our doctrine. So, first, let's start off with knowledge that every one of you have, and knowledge that is increasing by natural process of living. Genesis 2:9. Out of the ground the Lord God caused to grow every tree that is pleasing in the sight and good for food. Isn't that wonderful? The first blessing God gave man was food. I love that. Eat. And I love that. In the garden they could eat, never gain a pound. Just absolutely, that'd be wonderful. Why they messed that up, I don't understand. But they messed up something wonderful. See? Alright. So, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. People, you are increasing in the knowledge all the time of this system of the world. You have to make an effort to increase in the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ, but to increase in the knowledge of good and evil, you don't have to. Just live. Watch TV. Go to movies. Read the paper. Read magazines. First, you have to desire to increase your knowledge of Jesus Christ. Then you have to get to where this knowledge is taught. Then you have to, by faith, be in the power of the Holy Spirit when you're there. So He will teach you more and more about Jesus Christ and God the Father. Secondly, God is the God of knowledge. Think about that. He is the God of knowledge. So if you're increasing in your knowledge of God, you're increasing your knowledge. 1 Samuel 2:3. Boast no more so very proudly. Do not let arrogance come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and with Him actions are weighed. I hope you get it. God weighs or judges every action we undertake. Yes?
I've always assumed God is God of everything. So what's the significance of calling out that He's a God of knowledge?
Well, He's a God who created. There's different passages will point out different aspects of all that He is. Right here, He is the God of knowledge. Another passage, He's the God who created all things. Another passage, He is the all-powerful God. So different passages will emphasize different, which is why, we want to study the Word of God. So we increase our knowledge of God. We increase our knowledge of understanding all that He is. Yes?
I'm curious about the knowledge of good and evil versus the knowledge of God. What's the difference?
The tree of the knowledge of good and evil is not knowledge of God. It's knowledge of the world. It's the knowledge of sin. It's the knowledge that you and I gain every day throughout our lives. Okay? All right. Two. God is a God of knowledge. 1 Samuel 2:3, boast no more, so very proudly. Do not let any arrogance come out of your mouth. For the Lord is the God of knowledge, and with Him actions are weighed. God weighs or judges every action you undertake in your day. Action to come to church for the increased knowledge, or the action to do something else. Another passage on God as a God of all knowledge. Job, one of my favorite books in the Bible, first book given to us. 37:16. Do you know about the layers of the thick clouds, the wonders of one perfect in knowledge? God, perfect in knowledge. People, if you want to learn about God, you're learning perfect knowledge. Think about the books we read. Videos we watch to increase our learning. And yet right here is the knowledge of God. It's perfect knowledge. It's all the knowledge you and I need. It's right here in this book. That's all we need. Three. In effect, what you're saying when you choose not to come to worship His Word. What are you saying? When you say, I don't want to go to church where the Word of God is taught. For the answer, we go to the wisdom of Job. Job 21:14. They say to God, depart from us. We do not even desire the knowledge of your ways. And something more will be said on that a little later. Point four. The book of Proverbs is filled with words of knowledge. Let's just read through some of these rich verses and move on. 1:7. The fear of the Lord, reverence, awe of the Lord, is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction about the true God. 1:29. Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. That's what we have in America today. Most of America does not want to learn the Word of God. We've taken it out of our judicial system, out of our educational system, and for all practical purposes, out of most churches. We don't want the knowledge of God. I don't believe that even one of you hates the knowledge of God or Jesus Christ. I just think sometimes other things are more important than coming to church to study the Word of God. 9:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Now, here I want to just make it personal. Are you experiencing stress, anxiety, and depression? trying to understand it. Well, stop trying to understand stress, anxiety, and depression, and concentrate on growing in the knowledge of Jesus Christ and of God the Father. And that knowledge will give you understanding of the circumstances of life. What's happening in America? It's no big secret. You move away from the cross. You move away from the Bible. You take the Bible out of the judicial system. You take the Bible out of the educational system. Take it out of the judicial system. You have no moral standards. Take it out of the educational system. You can teach all the evolution you want with no restrictions. Take it out of churches. You remove the Lord even from there. So it's no surprise why we are where we are in this country today. Proverbs 15:14. The mind of the intelligent seeks knowledge. You intelligent, seek knowledge. But here it's talking about knowledge in the Word of God. Not knowledge in Aristotle. Not knowledge in the world. Knowledge of the Word of God. Where it can be found, that is in the Word of God. But the mouth of fools feeds on folly. Professing to be wise, they become fools. Romans 1:22. 18:15. The mind of the prudent acquires knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. That's why I said the ear. The ear of the wise seeks knowledge. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. These are things parents should be teaching their children. They're not, but they should be. 20:15. There's gold and abundance of jewels. But the lips of knowledge are a more precious thing. Do you desire a more precious thing in life? You desire knowledge of God, knowledge of Christ. Proverbs 24:5. A wise man is strong, and a man of knowledge increases power. Not physical power, people. As you get older, you lose physical power. But you can actually increase your power as you grow older by increasing your knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ. That's how you... There are... You can't turn on the TV or on AOL, they have the news things. Always somebody's got something for youth. Age. How to look younger. How to stop aging and all the rest of it. People, here's the secret. Study the Word of God. That'll keep you young in soul. That'll keep you young in thought. That'll keep you young in your actions in life. 5. Not only can you love as Jesus Christ loved, fulfill the new commandment of John 13:34 and 35, you can actually be like the humanity of Jesus Christ. Take a look. Isaiah 11:2. The Spirit of the Lord, that's the Holy Spirit, who is in you, will rest on him, coming Messiah, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding. The Holy Spirit is the teacher of the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ. The Spirit of counsel, what to do. Strength, the strength to do it. The Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. This Spirit's in you. It was in Jesus Christ, as per Isaiah 11:2. It's in you. He's in you. He is in you. He can give you wisdom and understanding. You're in the Spirit. You're studying His Word. 6. Yes, the Word, the world is filled with fear, calamity, uncertainty, but you can have powerful inner strength. Isaiah 33:6. And He will be the stability of your times. A stability of your times, He will be. Not much stability in the world today. If you're in Him, there's stability in your soul. A wealth of salvation, wisdom, and knowledge. The fear of the Lord is His treasure. If you desire stability in an unstable world, here is where you get it. Knowledge of the Word of God gives you stability, peace, tranquility. The world's falling apart, make no doubt about it. But you don't have to be it. It can give you stability. 1:7. It was knowledge of the plan of God that gave Jesus the courage to undergo the sufferings of the cross, the enduring of spiritual death from God the Father. Isaiah 53:11. Had to throw this in. It's what we're studying now on Wednesday night. As a result of the anguish of his soul, Jesus Christ's soul, he will see it and be satisfied. A picture of Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he sweat blood and was sustained. What sustained him? By his knowledge, the righteous one, my servant, will justify the many sufferings of the cross, and he will bear their iniquities. How will he bear them? Stricken, smitten, afflicted. All right, what's the point here? Jesus Christ was going through a horrible, painful ordeal, bearing the judgment of the sins of the world. But by his knowing the Father and the Father's plan, he was able to endure the sufferings of the cross. Principle, in your life, you may have to go through some difficult suffering. I do this for the sweet and sour. One hand, I hope you don't. Other hand, I hope every one of you do. I hope every one of you have to go through this and find out where your strength really is. Find out if you're really going to trust him. Find peace in him or fall apart with the world. So in your life, you may have to go through some difficult suffering. Physical, mental, emotional, family, marriage, divorce, all these things. You can be stabilized if you know and concentrate on God the Father, Jesus Christ, instead of on your difficulties. Isaiah passage, thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. And to keep your mind stayed on thee, you have to know him. People, if you only know a little bit about somebody, that's all you can keep your mind on them. And after 2 minutes, it's over. Yes?
That last passage, what's the scripture?
Yeah.
What?
The verse that will keep...
Isaiah 27, 3 and 4. That will keep in perfect peace. Is that what you asked about?
Yeah.
All right, now. But to keep your mind stayed on him, you have to know him. The more you know about someone, the more you can think about them. You just beginning to fall in love, you know that little bit. Boy, you take that for all it's worth. But after you've been with somebody for a long time and you know them, and you love what you learn about them, you have more to think about them. So the more we increase in the knowledge of God, and the more we increase in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, the more we can keep our mind stayed on him. We go from one thing about him to another thing about him, to another thing about him. Our mind, when you're in difficult times, is kind of like watching TV. It has to change all the time. So when you're going through difficult times, your mind has to constantly change, or you're back to your difficulty. Well, you go from one thing about him to another thing, to another thing, to another thing. Babe? And if you only know so much, run the tape again. Do a repeat of it. See? But the more you know, you're increasing the knowledge, the more you can concentrate on him. Point eight. What is wrong with America today? What is wrong morally in America? What is wrong spiritually in America? Hosea 4:1. Listen to the word of God. Well, that's just what a powerful phrase. Listen to the word of the Lord, O sons of Israel. And by application to us today, same thing. For the Lord has a case against the inhabitants of the land. What's his case? Because there is no faithfulness or kindness or knowledge of God in the land. People don't want the knowledge of God. That's what's wrong. You got to ask yourself, how about you? Are you increasing in the knowledge of God? Hosea 4:6, a few verses on down. My people are destroyed. Now, why are they destroyed? Because they're a bunch of sinners. No, for lack of knowledge. You see it? My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Not for sins, for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge. I also reject you from being my priest. Since you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children. You didn't care to teach them, I'll forget them. This is an amazing and alarming verse. It's alarming, frightening. Here God will destroy a nation, a people, for lack of knowledge. Well, look at America today. The foundation on which this nation was built is being destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Very few people Understand our Constitution. Understand the amendments. If Hillary is elected, it has been documented, she will change the Second Amendment to mean military, not private people. She will literally change the Constitution. And that's what's happening today. And people, the Constitution was written for Christian people. It is totally inadequate to govern any other. And we're not a Christian nation any longer. It is inadequate to govern this nation. That was said by John Adams. So, this is the whole point. Have you asked yourself why America is in a political mess it's in? Why are we in such an immoral nation? Consider America's spiritual condition. Consider the unbelievable lack of desire to learn more of the knowledge of God. In seminaries, why so few pastor teachers are teaching verse by verse on the Word of God. Consider the warnings given in Hosea 4:1 and 4:6. And in case someone desires to point out the number of churches in this country, the number of TV religious programs, well, look at Hosea 6:6. For I delight in loyalty rather than sacrifice, rituals, religiosity, and in the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. People is not impressed with the number of churches. He's not impressed with the sermons being preached around the world. God is love. Everyone's going to be saved. Total distortion of the gospel. Total distortion. There are pastors who teach homosexuality is fine. Well, that's a total abomination from the Word of God, leading the Word of God. But I want to tell you something far worse than that. Are preachers who tell you you can be saved by something you do, or that everyone's going to be saved, in other words, a false gospel. And that is prevalent. That is far more dangerous. That deals with eternal life. Moral issues deal with your life on earth. The gospel deals with eternity. You better be straight on that one. And the many churches do not teach the straight of the gospel. All right. 9. What is amazing is that so few even understand that they have little knowledge of sin and no knowledge of God. 1 Corinthians 15:34. Become sober-minded as you ought. Wrong. King James has it right here. The King James is correct. Awake to righteousness and stop sinning. For some have no knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. It is to the shame of America, the condition we're in. But here it is, awake to righteousness. People, that's the issue. Righteousness. Job, the 10 questions of Job, all through the Word of God. The gospel is not about the forgiveness of sins. That's the negative of the gospel. Christ took care of that on the cross. It's about the positive of the gospel. How do I get the righteousness of God? Not the absence of sin, but the righteousness of God. That's the great issue. The anti-God leaders have taken the Ten Commandments out of education, jurisprudence, and public places. And again, our young people have little understanding of sin. Don't even understand what sin is. You mean this is a sin? They don't understand it. You mean stealing is a sin? Fornication is a sin? Adultery is a sin? These things are sinful? Yeah. Open the Bible. Open the Word of God. Romans 3:20. Because by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For through the law comes the knowledge of sin. And if parents take away the law from their little children, they have no knowledge of sin. They have no knowledge. People, this is biblical. They have no knowledge of sin. The Ten Commandments and the law teaches what sin is. You don't have them, you don't ever understand what sin is. Got to understand these things, how God is putting this together. Point 10. Where do we find the knowledge of God? 2 Corinthians 4:6. For God who said, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. What this verse teaches a lot of things. But first of all, the knowledge of God is in learning about Christ. Paul says you increase in the knowledge of God. Peter says increase in the knowledge of Christ. It's the same. So if you desire to increase in the knowledge of God, you must increase in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 3:18. 11. Another passage that describes America today. 2 Timothy 3:7. Always learning, never able to come to the knowledge of truth. For our colleges and universities filled with learning. In fact, too much learning for a lot of the kids. Too much. Can't pass these tests. Learn, study, learn. Google. You can just Google. If I, you don't even need to have a computer. No. The first time my grandchildren did that, it blew my mind. You know, I forgot what it was, but what's the tallest mountain in the world? And I just, you're doing that on there. I have to sit down at least on Google. And even before that, I had to go to Encyclopedia Britannica. I mean, I could do anything. We are saturated with knowledge. The voice of truth. Truth of God. Truth of salvation in Jesus Christ. Truth of heaven. Truth of hell. Truth of eternal life. Truth of all these things. 12. You desire inner peace in your soul in a time when there is no peace? 2 Peter 1:2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you. How? In the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. So therefore, Paul prayed increase in the knowledge of God. Peter prayed for increase in the knowledge of Christ. Why? Grace and peace are multiplied in the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ. You want inner peace? Sit down and just open the Bible. Watch what happens. It depends on your circumstances. Now, I'm not ashamed to tell you. Sometimes I have to sit 30 minutes before my soul starts getting in what I'm studying. I trust the Holy Spirit at the beginning, but it just takes some time. There's so much going on. And then after a while, I'm into it. And I can tell. I know it. I know when it's immediate. I know when it's later on. It may take you a little time. Pressures, things going on in your life. Sit down and open the Word of God. Open the Psalms. Pick out some of these. Read through them. Use them for study guides. That's why James is putting these four together for you. Just read and go through. And that's, watch the peace. Watch the things of the world dim into the shadows of life. And things that are real, God, Jesus Christ, eternity, come blatantly in your life. Okay, 13. We have studied the petition of bearing fruit in every good work. But there is one other area even more important for bearing fruit. 2 Peter 1:8. For if these qualities are yours, maybe they are, maybe they're not, you'll have to read the previous verses, and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You want to be fruitful? Grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. These things, this brings us to our study of Colossians. Colossians 1:9-10. Colossians 1:9. For this reason also, since the day we heard it, we have not ceased to pray for you. I keep reading that. I hope it gets into your mind. This is a good outline for you to be in prayer for yourself and for others. One, you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. 2:10. Second, that you walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. Third petition, to please Him in all respects. 4, bearing fruit in every good work. And 5, increasing in the knowledge of God. Perfect prayer for a mother and father for their children. Perfect prayer. Perfect prayer. Follow it up with teaching them. Now, how important is this petition? You may be filled with the knowledge of His will. How important is that? I want you to look at Isaiah 53, and James put it in here for you, which is devoted to the suffering of Jesus Christ in payment of our debt and sin. Now, what we're doing, I want you to understand, that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will. How important is that? Let's look at Isaiah 53:8. By oppression from man and judgment from God, He, Jesus Christ, the suffering servant, was taken away from life today. Now, here's the point. As for his generation, those that were there, family, friends, disciples, all, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living for or because of the transgressions of my people to whom the stroke was due. Who considered? The Hebrew construction shows they should have considered this. The Hebrew points out they should have been able to consider this. This was knowable to them. But they did not have the knowledge of the will of God. So you see what I'm saying? How important is it to have the knowledge of the will of God? They experienced all kinds of thoughts and emotions and fears. To fear and uncertainty. And from the religious crowd, a sick joy. From the Romans, a sense of power and authority. And from his own disciples, family, fear, uncertainty, undue sorrow. Why? Because they do not have the knowledge of the will of God. Do you realize a lot of stress, anxiety, and fear that you and I suffer? We don't have knowledge of His will. We don't have knowledge of His will. Knowledge of what's going on in the world, in my environment, my family, my marriage, my health. I don't have it. People got to have a knowledge of the will of God. Understand what happens when you move away from the cross. That helps you understand things. The more we have a knowledge of the will of God, peace overcomes our soul regardless of what's going on. The people at the time of Jesus Christ, His own generation, His own mother, His half-brothers and sisters, His disciples, His friends, Martha and Lazarus, and on and on and on, no one considered what was going on. They were all in fear, worry, and crying. Wouldn't it have been beautiful if one, I know what's going on, he's dying in my place. But no one did. This generation did not consider it because they did not have the will of God. You can have the will of God. It's right here. He's given it to you. He's given it to you primarily in all of the Bible, New Testament prophecy. He's given it to you. You don't have to be in fear. You can just smile. When you hear things that people say, you can just smile, understand what's going on. Friday night, Hal Lindsey did a great study on how at the end times there's going to be two contrasting things at play. Globalization, nationalism. Britain getting out of the EU. A lot of people, that brother says all you Christians been talking about, the 10-nation federation and all that. No, people, it doesn't. It just confirms. Nationalism is increasing. Globalization is increasing. The UN wants to control the world. It's happening right before our eyes. And what you and I can do to smile. We can't change anything. We wouldn't want to. But the point is, we can't change anything. My dog doesn't even mind me. Talk to Jerry Jensen about that. The dog doesn't even mind you. How are you going to change things at the UN? How are you going to change things in America? How are you going to change things in Britain? I'm not going to. I don't have to. I know what the will of God is. I know what's going on. There's a peace in my soul. Tranquility. I look forward to the next event. The rapture of the church. I'm going to be taken out of here. I'm going to have to stand before Jesus and have my life evaluated by Him. But I'm ready for that. I'm ready for that after Colossians. See? That's a peace if you have the will of knowledge of the will of God. I wish I could go through every one of these prayers like that and show you. How important is it to know the knowledge of the will of God? I've just given it to you from Isaiah 53. How important it is to know the will of God. That's why Paul prays that you be filled with the knowledge of His will. And from these people I hear such things as I don't need to study prophecy. I don't need to study prophecy. Oh, yes, you do. Oh, yes, you do. I had a wonderful time, and I hope he doesn't mind my sharing this, in Puerto Vallarta with Jody Brown, and it's just Jody and I and our wives. John Hintz wasn't able to make it because of his condition with a broken rib and a replaced shoulder. But Jody said about the same thing. we need to study prophecy. And one of the riches of that week was being able to show him, oh, yes, you do. You need to study. And he walked away with a whole new view about understanding prophecy. And we've talked about it on the phone several times since. You need to understand it. What's God's will? I know God's will. I studied Daniel. I studied Matthew 24 and 25. I studied 1 and 2 Thessalonians. I know. I'm not upset about what's going on. Okay? I live each day bearing fruit. I live each day increasing in the knowledge of God. Have peace in my soul. That's what we have. So if you desire to be filled with the knowledge of His will, I love the verse in Revelation 3:1. Revelation 3:1, blessed. You want a blessing? Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy, the book of Revelation, and heed the things that are written in it, for time is near. You want a blessing in your life? We've studied Revelation, but if you want to do it with somebody else, that's fine. As long as they're truthful and honest on it. Just read the book of Revelation. Read what's going on in it. So, no one in the generation of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ understood the will of God. But people, we can. And we should be able to understand the will of God in today's world and in our own personal lives. Your marriage, your college, your work, your life, your finances, every area. Next Sunday, we'll move to verse 11 and the sixth petition in Paul's prayer. Verse 11, strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. And I just tell you right up front, that's about the Holy Spirit. So Colossians 1, 9, and 10, we'll close with this, get ready for communion. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it. People, this morning you heard various prayer requests. That gives you something to pray about. Yes.
Sorry, I know we would write this out. Maybe you can cover it in Jesus. I'm still struggling about Jesus in passive peace and Jesus in inspirationally walk in the Spirit, which I'm not connecting the dots. But
peace
of
what?
As in passive to nothing versus Jesus in you walk calmly.
Oh, it's not in doing that.
I'm not saying it.
Peace is what the Holy Spirit gives inside our souls. One of the most wonderful things, you know, it's easy to have peace when everything's going good. You're on your honeymoon, fantastic! 2 weeks later, oh my God. Now, do you have peace then? Then you know it's from God. If you have peace, and I forget that analogy. If you have peace, and there's no reason why you should not have it, you know it's from God. You know it's from God. See? Now, wait a minute. I'm not talking about my marriage, people. Or, let me tell you something. 3 weeks after the marriage, it was fantastic. I mean, food was there, the house was clean, it was fantastic. So, I used that example before I married, so there. Now, if you have peace when things are falling apart in your life, in the world, you know it's supernatural. If you have peace and everything's going fine, I'm not really sure. I'm not really sure. Is my marriage or my finances, are they giving me this peace? But not today, boy. Finances are terrible. This is going on. I still have that peace. That's when you know it's of the Lord. When you know it's a product of faith, trusting in the Spirit. See? That's what you know. So for this reason, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. I hope you understand how important that request is. So that you may walk, live, day by day, in a manner worthy of the Lord. Who do you work to satisfy, please? I hope not a husband, not a wife, not another person. Not yourself, but the Lord. To please Him in all respects. Bearing fruit in every good work. Increasing in the knowledge of God. All right, let's prepare ourselves now for our communion service. Now, I had to debate whether to take off the whole day today for a communion related to the 4th of July, freedom. I decided we needed to continue the momentum of our study. What is communion? Communion is a time of fellowship. Communion. Fellowship. And it's very interesting that it's around eating. Now, all we have is a cup and a piece of bread. Don't try to sustain your life on that. But it's the idea that we're fellowshipping together with one another, fellowshipping with Him. We think about that fellowship. We think about where we are with Him. Now, communion that we have is because of the freedom we have in Christ. But I hope everyone in this room is old enough to understand freedom is not free. Freedom can be lost. You can lose freedom. Our forefathers, in writing and in battling, have provided us this freedom. Men and women throughout the history of this country have fought and died and lived to sustain this freedom. We are slowly losing it, slowly, quickly, rapidly, losing this freedom. It can be lost. You've got to be vigilant about it. But I want to tell you something. Your spiritual freedom can be lost. Look at Galatians chapter 5 a moment. Galatians chapter 5. Had I spent the whole hour, this is the main verse I would have dealt with. Verse 1. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. We as Christians can take the spiritual freedom we have in Christ and subject ourselves to slavery again. How do we do that? Well, in context, slavery to the law. Religious, legalistic people are enslaved. They're not free in Christ. They're enslaved to the law. Well, I'll give you another one. Slave to sin. Many Christians today live enslaved to sin. Not free in Christ. They're enslaved to sin. So it was for freedom, spiritual freedom, that Christ on the cross, Isaiah 53, set us free of the law, from sin. Therefore, keep on standing firm. You got to keep on. You got to keep on standing firm. Now, what I like, stand firm. Look at verse 7. You were running well. Well, wait a minute. I can't stand still and run. I prefer the exercise of standing still, not running. See, how do you do both? In your running. You're running according to that freedom you have in Christ. That's advancing. That's walking. We studied the doctrine of walking. How can you walk and stand still? Stand still means you build your life on the freedom wherewith you have been set free in Jesus Christ. Freedom in the Holy Spirit. Freedom to grow in the knowledge of Christ. Freedom of the world. Freedom of sin. Freedom of the law. Freedom of people controlling you. You're free in Christ. Do not go back to something, though. Don't go back to sin, the flesh. Don't go back to the law. Don't go back to these things. Now, what is interesting is, look at verse 13. Just kind of going through this chapter very quickly. For you were called to freedom, brethren, believers. Only do not use your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh. Well, I'm free. I do whatever I want. Don't do that. But through love, serve one another. Serve one another. That's our freedom, to serve one another in Christ. The new commandment, love one another as I have loved you. That we serve one another in love. So we have freedom in Christ. But people, let me tell you something, you can lose it. Stay away from the study of the Bible, and it won't be long before you're enslaved. You will be enslaved. You'll be enslaved to sin. You'll be enslaved to the law. You'll be enslaved to religion. You'll be enslaved to something. Something has to take the place of the void. In our 9:15 class, we're studying in 1 Corinthians 10, idolatry. And what, how do you get into idolatry? You forget God. You leave, you forsake, is the word the Bible uses. You forsake the Lord. Well, you're open now. You're open to idols. You're open to idolatry. You're open to the philosophy of man. You're open to get more money, get rich, get this, get involved in drugs or sex or this or that. You got to have something to fill in that void. You make up your mind. That's the beauty of freedom. You make up your mind what you want to get your life involved in your soul. It's going to be the Lord. It's going to be increasing in the knowledge of God, increasing in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, or satisfying yourself. It's up to you. Christ has set you free. You are free. It's up to you what you will do with the freedom. Now, there are two elements involved in the communion service. I think most of you, all of you, understand these two elements. The cup or the bread represents the body of Christ. It represents Jesus Christ as God, making a decision to become man, and as man, take our place on the cross, that we might have freedom in Christ. So let's begin, prepare ourselves for the bread with a prayer. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the communion service. Gives us time just to stop and slow down. Take some moments and think. How did we enter this plan? How did we get this freedom? It's in Christ. At some point in our lives, we simply believed in Him as Savior. At that moment, we were set free. Father, we're so thankful for the suffering of your Son that we have freedom today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. To the church, Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, "For I received from the Lord that which I now deliver to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread, he broke it, and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for the bread, or we're thankful for the cup. The cup teaches us now how to live. The bread solved the problem of our eternal life. But how are we to live now? He is not here. He is risen. He has departed and sits at your right hand. How are we to live? And we know that from the cup of the new covenant. Father, how grateful we are for your wonderful plan. In Christ's name, amen. It's our custom that everyone hold a cup, that everyone is served, and we'll take it together. please stand? And when he had given, in the same manner, he, Jesus Christ, took the cup also after the Passover, Passover's over, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Now, the disciples were wondering, what's going to happen? Once he did leave, how are we going to live? The new covenant, the Holy Spirit, that's how we live. The disciples, I don't know if you've ever thought about it, they walked by sight. Jesus Christ went to Galilee, they followed him to Galilee. Jesus Christ went to Samaria, they followed him to Samaria. Jesus Christ goes into Jerusalem, old Thomas didn't want to go, but he said, okay, let's go there and die. They followed him. He's not here. We can't have, I don't know how many Christians there are, but let's say there's 500. Let's say there's, you know, 1 million Christians. We can't all stay at the same Holiday Inn. So, but now, we're all over the world. And each Christian can live his own home life as under the Lord through the filling of the Holy Spirit. So, this cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Let's pray. We are so thankful, Father, for your word. It is a light into our path. It teaches us about you and about your Son, about your Spirit, about your plan. It's peace. It's joy. Father, we thank you for this assembly where we can come and just sit down with others who are like-minded. The purpose of worshiping you, studying your word, fellowshipping with one another. Right now, Father, that you take the morning's lesson, that your Spirit can use it for the glory of Christ. We thank you for the food that we're about to partake of and the fellowship that we're about to enjoy. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. I hope all of you will stay. We don't have very many, so there's not going to be many to gossip if a lot of you leave. So please stick around.